Not just, you know, going to give you a hard time about it. It's illegal. In other words, you can go to jail. You can go to prison. There are people, brothers and sisters, all over the world right now that are facing that. They're in prison. Some are being tortured. They're separated from their families. It's put a hardship on their families, on all those things. You know, and here's the thing this morning. The title of my message this morning is, If Our Gospel Be Hidden. If Our Gospel Be Hidden. Now, we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters that are imprisoned and being tortured and all those kind of things. We're going to pray before we leave this morning. But my message this morning is, If Our Gospel Be Hidden. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading there with verse 3. The Apostle Paul here is speaking. He said, And even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it is veiled or hidden to those who are perishing. Listen. On the front of the cover of our bulletin this morning, the Romans 1:16 is there, which it says, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Paul wrote that to everyone that believes. He went on in Romans 10, he talked about this. He said, and if our gospel, if how can they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless one be sent? And then he writes to the Corinthians and he said, if our gospel is veiled or hidden, who is it veiled or hidden from? It's from those who are perishing. All around us out here. In Boynton, Lake Worth, Lantana, wherever you're from, Delray, all around us, you know what? There are people that are perishing. And there's only one reason they're perishing, is the gospel has been hidden from them. Notice what he says. He says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Listen, church. We are not on a vacation. We are in a battle. We are in warfare. Wherever Paul refers to the church, especially in the epistles, you will see him. He always uses, practically all the time, military terms. He talks about us being in battle, spiritual warfare. He talks about us being soldiers. Amen. He told Timothy, endure hardness like a soldier. Well, you don't do that. You don't have to endure hardness on vacation. And here's the thing. Yes, God wants to bless us. Yes, God wants to deliver us. Yes, God wants to do all those wonderful things. But there is a reason why He wants to do it. He wants us to be soldiers who are prepared and equipped and ready to go out and take this gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, here's the thing, church. We have got to decide in our own heart and mind, how important is it that we take this message out? How important is it? How important is it? I want to remind you of something. And I'm not going to read all these verses, but we're going to read some of them. In 1 Corinthians 4:15, Paul said that we are begotten or born again by the gospel. Now, how many believe that as it is that all men are born in this world, they come in this world, they were born in sin? That means what? They are separated from God, doesn't it? And where do all those go if they die in that state of separation? It's okay to say that word in church. Hell, yeah. Now, here's the thing. Is that a myth? Is that real? Or is that just some typology? Is that just, what is it? Is it real? Well, here's the thing. If that is true, and those who do not hear the gospel will end up in that place, then how imperative does it become us to be able and be sure to take this message of the gospel to those who are hurting out there? You say, Pastor, don't put this heavy trip on me. I'm not. I'm just telling you what God said. I'm not putting a heavy trip on you. I found this out. Usually the heavy trip comes when God's telling me to do something and I'm slow about doing it. That's when I start feeling uncomfortable. How about you? Isn't that true? So how important is this message? He said, well, we're begotten by the gospel. In Romans 16:25, he said this gospel is the power to establish men. Establish them in what? Establish them in eternal life. Establish them as sons of God. Establish them in this covenant we're going to be partaking of later on. Establish them. Listen, there. Paul wrote this in Corinthians. He said, there are many voices in the world. Boy, isn't that the truth? It's not so much that there are more voices than there ever was. It's just now we get to hear them all. Isn't that true? You got satellite, cable, internet, you name it, cell phones, you know, GPS, I can't even think of them all. But I mean, listen, it's almost true now, if a bird falls in China, you can know about it over here. Almost by the time it hits the ground. So all the voices get amplified, don't they? All these voices that have been around saying, we've got the truth. No, we've got the truth. No, we got the truth. And of course, there's some, you know, that are the most politically correct. There really is no truth. We're really in the middle. And see, if that attitude gets upon us in the church, if we don't understand and truly are convinced in our heart of hearts that the gospel is the only way of salvation to be delivered, to be established, to set men free for eternity, then I'm going to tell you what, you know, that's what it's going to take to motivate us. We need to be motivated. You know, I've been praying all week. Well, I'm going to introduce you a little bit about him, a pastor over in China called Pastor Song. And he is in prison. He's been in prison, I think, for right now, for this time, for about 10 years. He gets 30 minutes out from his cell once a month for exercise. In the wintertime, for fun, the guards throw ice-cold water on him. Of course, there's no heat in there. He's separated from his family. He's separated from the work of the ministry. And yet, he continues to rejoice. And you know what will happen? If he ever does get out of there, you know what he'll do? He'll go right back and do the same thing again. Start preaching the gospel. He'll start preaching the gospel. Puts us to shame here in America. If our gospel be hidden. Well, you know, he said, the God of this world is blinding men's eyes. But you know what? I would offer this to you too. Sometimes the church is hiding the gospel. Are you listening? Sometimes it's not only the enemy who's blinding the minds, it is the church who's not delivering the message faithfully. It's the church that's not delivering the message faithfully. Listen, Jesus talked about there are things that can hinder the gospel. Did you know you are either helping or hindering the gospel? Come on. You're either helping or you're hindering. Jesus put it this way. He said, you're either for me or against me. I'm just quoting what Jesus said. Isn't that what he said? So another way to say that is you're either helping or you're hindering. Isn't that right? So if our gospel be hidden, it's not only is it that the God of this world has blinded men's eyes, but what if we in the church, we are hiding that message? Because we do not faithfully give it out. Just like Brother Jules was talking about. We need to give this message out. We need to be sharing this message. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not too good at speaking. Well, you can hand out a tract. We got a tract rack back here in the church. We ought to be having to fill that thing up every week. Thank you for your enthusiasm. If you're just so timid you can't even hand it to somebody, well, leave it where somebody will pick it up. But let's not let it be hidden, because we just all agreed it's the power of God unto salvation. The fullness of blessing, Paul said in Romans 15:29, the fullness of blessing comes through the message of the gospel. Listen, how many of you are saved? Just raise your hand. Okay, put it down. How many of you are glad to be saved? That looks like about the same number. Well, listen, why are you glad to be saved? Why are you glad about being saved? Well, it's good to be forgiven. It's good to have peace. It's good to have joy. It's good to have the presence of God in my life. But it's also good to know that I'm going to escape hell. It's good to know that heaven is my home. It's good to know that, isn't it? He said in Romans 15, he said the fullness of blessing. the fullness of blessing, the Holy Spirit in my life, God's power to heal in my life, God's power to comfort me in my life, God's power to bring me through every test and trial I face in my life, God, the fullness of God's way. He said it comes through the power of the gospel. And so who has been charged with taking the gospel out? Israel? Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah, they got a part in the end time prophecy, but they don't have a part in this. This is the church. The church is the one to take the gospel. You know, we sang that little song at praise song this morning. The Bible is a weapon. Well, it's not only a weapon for you, yes, but it's also a weapon that we need to use against and break the power of the enemy, the power of darkness, over the minds and the lives of those who are perishing. And listen, church, if we as the church, as a whole of the church, if we don't do it, no one will. You know, Paul wrote, and he said, the things that happened to the Israelites were written as examples to us. Are you listening? You know, the Israelites coming out of Egypt and in the wilderness and going in and all. He said that was written for our instruction. And here's the thing. There was a generation there in Israel. They came out of Egypt, all right, didn't they? They came out. Well, Egypt's a type of the world. We may need to start serving that coffee before service again. Wake up. Egypt's a type of the world, isn't it? So they came out of Egypt. So what? In a sense, what? They came out of the world. They were saved. But what? They would never go into the fullness of blessing. Why did they not go in? The Bible says because of their unbelief. They didn't go into the fullness of blessing. They didn't go in because of their unbelief. And see, if the same thing happens to us, what is hindering us from giving out this gospel? Many times, we have to be honest with ourselves. It is an attitude, a spirit of unbelief that we've allowed to settle upon us. Because how can we be in church and say, yes, we believe that people are going to perish and go to hell, but yet when we get out there, we won't give the gospel that will deliver them. And the other positive side of this is, think about this. God has entrusted to you and I this gospel, this glorious gospel that has the power to deliver, to heal, to set free, and bring into the family of God all those we run into, all those we meet. Man, think about what a joy that is. You say, yeah, but some people don't like it. Yes, but a lot will. Stop looking at everybody that don't like it. Let's don't use that as an excuse. Hallelujah. Because I read over there in Revelations, boy, it sounds like to me there's going to be quite a few people up there. Isn't that right? I mean, he said when they started singing and praying, he said it sounded like thunder rolling. You know, some people's vision of how many is going to be in heaven, it's going to take us eternity just to find each other. There's only going to be a couple up there. It's me and I don't know who the other one is. You know, I'm kidding you. But that's some people's idea. That's not what I'm saying. God wants, he said he's not willing that any should perish.
That's right.
He's not willing that any should perish. So if God's not willing, then it's going to take a partnership between the church, his people, his body, and Jesus, who is the head in heaven. We're his hands, his feet, his mouth. We're the ones that got to take this message out.
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
So the fullness of blessings through the gospel. The Bible also says that signs and wonders and miracles in Romans 15:19 come through the message of the gospel. How many of you would like to see a miracle? Get busy giving this gospel message out to people out there, and you will see them. We think a miracle's only for the church house. No, I'm telling you, the miracles are for out there. I said the miracles are for out there. And he said the gospel is the power. It says that God, this may be one I want to read. Turn to Romans 15. Let's read this one real quickly. You know, the Romans 15. Romans 15, we're going to look at verse 19. He said, well, we'll back up to 18 there. He said, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said, the gospel, and done. By the power of signs and wonders, signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit. So that from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, yes, but that was Paul. He was an apostle. Well, he didn't work signs and wonders because he was an apostle. He just said it was by the Spirit, didn't he? Didn't he? Didn't he? Well, do we have a different Holy Spirit than he had? The Holy Spirit got twins. He had one. You know, it was there in what we call Bible days. And then we got another Holy Spirit who's inferior. Now, he doesn't do signs and wonders anymore. He doesn't do miracles anymore. Listen, if we will be faithful to the gospel message, to give it out, to disseminate it, to reach out to people, I'm telling you what, you will see God work signs and wonders and miracles in the lives of people. People say, why do we see miracles in places like Haiti or Africa or places like that? And I'm going to tell you why. Because they're giving this gospel out. They're giving it out. They're not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed. Listen, that is one of the biggest weapons the enemy uses against the church here in America. Listen, here's some of the things that the enemy uses to keep the gospel hidden. In believers. The first thing is doubt and unbelief. Well, you know, now I just don't think a loving God is going to send anybody to hell. I just think that somehow in the end, everybody's going to make it. Everybody's going to make it. Everybody's going to be saved. After all, God's love, and He's not willing that any should perish. Hello. But that same Jesus said this. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Yes. Yeah. See, you can take a snatch of scripture here and there and make it sound like anything you want it to sound like. That's right. The other thing is fear of man. This is a biggie. So much fear in the body of Christ. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of people's opinions. We're afraid we won't be liked. We're afraid that somebody will get mad at us. We're afraid of this and afraid of that and afraid of the other. And the Bible tells us real clearly in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you a spirit of fear. So what are you doing with it? You ought no more let fear be in your life than you would have drugs. I'm going to go over and preach. Come on. Oh, yeah. You know, in the church, sometimes we got sins categorized. The big ones, the medium ones, and the little ones. You know, it's always funny how, you know, the ones in my life are in the little ones. But yours, we ain't got a category for yours yet. No, it's sin is sin, isn't it? God wants to deal with it and get it out of our life in any measure, in any manifestation. Yeah. And so, listen, but fear is one too. See, you know, it's just like in the body of Christ. Man, you drinking alcohol? Ooh. But, you know, you can be 400 pounds overweight and it's all right. Come on. Oh, yeah. We got categories. And fear is one of those things. You know, everybody's got to fear a little bit, Pastor. You know, we all got to worry some. Lord of mercy. What's wrong with you? Well, that's not what the Bible says. And listen, fear has a snare. It always has a snare. And I'm going to tell you, when we're afraid of the opinions of men, of being rejected by men, I'm going to tell you something. God will not be able to use you. That's right. I didn't say He wouldn't love you. Don't misunderstand me, but he won't be able to use you. Because what? The gospel is the power of unto salvation. And Paul said, unless this gospel is verbalized in some form, isn't that right? He said, they got to hear it. So it's got to come out your mouth, or it's got to be written down and you give it to somebody. It's some way it's got to get to them, the message, doesn't it? And it's got to get to them through the church, which is you and I. We are the body of Christ. We're talking about if this gospel be hidden. Another reason the gospel's hidden by the church sometimes is traditions and opinions of man. We esteem them more than we do the gospel. Jesus talked to the Pharisees. You in Matthew 15 over there, you can read it. He said, by your traditions, you make of none effect the word of God. And you know, one of our traditions that we have done, especially here in the United States of America, is that that the body of Christ, when we come together, that our needs, meeting our needs, is the paramount purpose of the church. Thank you, brother. Well, come over here and preach. You're with me. Isn't that right? Everything, if we're not careful, everything's geared around us. Us having a great experience. Us having our needs met. And you know, if you've been here a while, you know, I preach it. I believe God wants to meet your needs. Don't misunderstand me. But we've made that the paramount issue. We've made that, and that's become a tradition in the sense of how we've emphasized it. Not the fact that God wants to meet our needs, but we've emphasized it to a point to where we've instead of balancing that out with, hey, why does God want to meet my needs and make me whole? Is so that what we can go out and take this gospel of Jesus Christ to those that are hurting. Jesus said this: if the blind lead the blind, what happens? We both fall in the ditch. So yes, God wants to do something in our life. He wants to do something in our life so that when we lead people, we don't lead them into the ditch. But there comes a point in time where God says, okay, you're whole enough, you're well enough, you can go out and begin to take this gospel, which is my power unto salvation, to hurting people out there. You don't have to have a PhD in theology. You don't have to understand everything from Genesis to maps. You don't have to know how many angels can fit on the head of a pin. You know, all these theological hairs. You know, we got different ones. These are ones that in church, if you study church history, it sounds silly to us now, but that really was an issue at one time. And I bet if the Lord tarries, some of the stuff that we think is just so important, that the body of Christ is going to look back and say, good gracious alive, where in the world were those people? You know what I'm saying? So we got to be careful that we don't let traditions, you know, the latest fad, what's popular. You know, if we just after a crowd, you know, you know, go to a football game. They got big crowds there. Isn't that right? It's all about what? Entertainment. Oh, yeah. Ain't nobody telling them there that, you know, you're all right. Just do whatever you want to. You're all right. Isn't that right? But here in the church, what if our gospel be hidden? The other, a couple other things real quick. Complacency. Complacency. I got mine. Let them get theirs. Hallelujah. You know, kind of like the guy, you know, that prayed, God bless me and mom and Bill and Sue, us four and no more. Hello? Complacence. And listen, I say these things, you know, because what? We have to shake these things off. They can try to get on any of us. None of us are immune. Not in the ministry, not anywhere. None of us are immune from these things. And we have to shake these things off sometimes, because we can get complacent. And complacency slows what? Our momentum. It steals our passion. People who share the gospel are passionate about God. Hello? You're not sharing the gospel. Listen, you need to take your passion quotient. maybe you need to, you know, back when I was growing up in the house, we had one of these big potbelly stoves. Anybody y'all? No, y'all don't know what those are, do you? And you know, you'd stand by it like this, and you burn up here and you freeze here. So it's kind of like one of those rotisseries. You know, you had to turn every once in a while to keep your whole body warm. But, you know, that thing had kind of died down. You know, at night, you get up the next morning, and but it still had some embers there. But you had to get in there and kind of poke that thing around and stir it up a little bit and put some more kindling on it. And, man, the next thing you know, man, you got another blaze going. Listen, sometimes that's what we've got to do. The embers are there, but the fire's not burning. The embers are still there. We need to get in there, need somebody like me to come in and get this poker of the Word of God, and get that poker out and poke in there a little bit, and those embers come up and put a little fuel on there, bless God, and let the fire and the passion of God come back again. Say, bless God. What was I thinking? I got lulled to sleep there. I'll tell you what, boy, when a crisis hits your life, you've never been seen such a praying person. Woo, praying, fasting, calling up everybody you know, pray. Come on. Well, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. But listen, we ought to be stirred about, what about being stirred about that, about somebody we know that's lost? Can you pray just as hard for them as you pray for yourself? And this last one goes with it too. Self-absorbed lives. And you know, that's an easy thing to happen, isn't it? I know nobody in here is busy, are you? I didn't even want, I mean, that's become a rhetorical question. I know you used to even take a poll on that. That goes without saying, isn't it? But you know, in the busyness of life and all of that, if we are not careful, we can become self-absorbed in living our own life, can't we? We get in our little world there, and we're trying to do what we're supposed to do and need to do, and what a few other people have told us we should do, and you know, and all, you know, it's all that, isn't it, right? And before you know it, we're self-absorbed, and we go by people, and people go by us. And some of those people, God says, I wanted you to reach them. I wanted you to share with them. I wanted you to lift them up. I wanted you to do it. Might not be every person that comes by your path, but there are some. There are some. And if we're self-absorbed, we'll miss the ones God has appointed for us. But if we will stay sensitive, we'll stay open, then you know what? When people come by, you know, you'll sense that little tug of the Holy Spirit, that little urging of the Holy Spirit, you know, and you're just, okay, here's one. See, sometimes that may be why, you know, you're not having too good a success. You know, you hear a message like this and you start feeling guilty and you go run out there and try to do it and you find some old hardhead that's not ready yet. And that's all your experience has ever been. But you know what? If you'll let the love of God rise up again, if you'll let the compassion of Jesus rise up again, if you begin to pray over the community, pray for the lost, you begin to pray, God will sensitize your heart and He'll say, there's one of my sheep. There's one of the lost sheep right there. And I'm telling you, as soon as you start doing that and you start having success, bringing forth fruit, bless God, we won't be able to hold you back. You'll be like a wild person. You'll be like, bless God, this is good. This is great. Remember, we're talking about if our gospel be hidden. What is the gospel? Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15 real quickly. We're going to have our covenant meal here in just a minute. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15. We'll start reading there with verse 1. He said, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. Can I get a good witness? Anybody in here done that? By this gospel, you are saved. Well, that's real complicated, isn't it? By this gospel, you are saved. Oh, but I just don't feel. By this gospel, you are saved. Yeah, but I hadn't done everything. Just by this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, this is the gospel, I passed on to you as of first importance. Everybody say first. Listen, when God says something's first, Boy, you need to perk up your ears. Because he don't mean second or third or fourth or 12th or 20th, does he? First importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried. That he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all he appeared to me also as to one abnormally or born out of time. The gospel is still the first message. Yes, God wants to baptize people in the Holy Ghost. God wants to heal people. God wants to bless you and meet your needs. He wants to deliver you. A lot of things that are in this gospel, but I'm telling you, first things first. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's just as simple as he laid it out. Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus arose. This message. Listen, I can get that. Man, if I can get it, I know you can. Amen? I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I can get that. Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus arose. That's the message of the hour. That's the first message that the lost, the perishing, those to whom the gospel has been hidden, that's the first message we're to bring them. And listen, Grace, we have a part in that because we're a part of the body of Christ. You and I have a part in that. And listen, Jesus said, "My yoke is not heavy." So if you feel like, oh, man, this is so burdensome. Listen, you haven't understood what I've been saying. You haven't understood the message yet. Because Jesus said, it's an easy burden, this gospel. It's easy. It's easy. How many of you know, 100 years from now, all of us are going to be somewhere else? Isn't that right? And I'm trusting, hoping, and planning on running into people in that other place. And they're going to, I'm trusting I'm going to run into some to say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because you shared the gospel with me. Thank you. You prayed for us. Thank you. You gave and sent missionaries. You sent people to preach the gospel where you couldn't go. Thank you. I guarantee you, at that moment, you're not going to be thinking about that house you own down here. Especially when you see that one you got now. Ooh. Isn't that right? The gospel is the power of God into salvation. Listen, what I want us to do, a few more minutes, I want to lead us in prayer. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for the persecuted church. I handed you out from one of the missions that you support here. We support together. You support them with your giving. Brother Neil Anderson. Also, this same report was in the Voice of the Martyrs. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that publication, the Voice of the Martyrs, that ministry. They really reach out, minister to